I'd like to thank intuitionbase.com for hosting the video portion. Hopefully you'll be able to see us. I think we've got our internet issues solved, so the video stream should be relatively stable today, hopefully, for us. So it's 11 o'clock. I have my guest, Dr. Gary Hare. He's the new CEO and chairman of Amiga Inc.
Well, actually, I'm the CEO of Camos.
Who now owns Amiga Inc.
So
you trumped the CEO of Amiga.
I suppose.
Okay, so just to recap quickly for anybody who missed it. Last night, Gary presented to us at the banquet, thank you, sir, and told us that Camos had just acquired two new companies, Capacity Networks and also Amiga Inc. And I think for this particular discussion, this crowd, we're mainly interested in the Amiga Inc. one, but I think we'll start off talking about Capacity Networks and what that means. But before we get to that, you mentioned some interesting things yesterday about the Camos business model and the things that you were, why the company was formed, where you see yourself in the future, and these kind of things. And I realize some of this might be confidential, but is there anything that you could kind of give us as a tell us more about Camos, where you see not only the company fitting, where you see people going into the future, and then we'll talk about how Capacity works in that model and then Amiga works in that model.
Yes, well, good morning and thanks, Bill. I guess it's fair to say that what we've been looking at is the interface between what's happening in mobile and what's been happening in wireless. And we've been talking to network operators for quite some time about specific problems that they're facing. And
just for our audience, network operators are Orange, Nokia. What's the audience?
We're looking at it both in terms of the mobile space, which would be certainly Orange, Nokia,
Verizon,
AT&T Wireless, and all those.
I'm not saying who you're talking to, just the market space.
Yes, and then on the other side of the equation is the people that are working on the systems to support that. So that's the Motorola's of the world and
Ericsson,
folks like that. Ericsson, certainly. And we've been active for quite some time in Asia. So we've talked to companies in North America, Asia, and Europe. And what we've been trying to get is a halfway decent picture in our own mind as to what kinds of problems they see themselves facing, what kind of data that they would like to be able to enable, and then what role companies that aren't currently players might play in that in the future. We looked at that in really two regards. The first is the operating system side of both wired and wireless technologies. We felt and have felt for quite some time that if you look at all current operating systems, the Amiga OS was probably the one that best fit the bill in terms of being lightweight, robust, and an operating system that could be made secure.
So just from clarification, when you're talking, I'm assuming at some point you did research on the available operating systems out there and came across the Amiga in that capacity. Are you talking about the direction that Amiga took Amiga DE, or are you talking about the classic Amiga operating system?
We're talking, in this case, about the classic Amiga operating system. Yes, we did a reasonable amount of research on OSs that exist and are in development. Most of the ones that exist, we feel that the market concurs, have significant problems. The primary one, of course, is size.
Yeah.
There's other scalability problems as well. But the other thing is that there are some new overtures on the OS side, and some of which are quite impressive. So what do they lack? I mean, why would you think you could compete with something that's new that you like? And what they have lacked is both access to legacy applications, access to a developer network. And when you really get into strategic discussions with people, I mean, it doesn't revolve so much around the OS itself. It revolves around what products and services can you deliver to our customers.
Yep.
And that's where Amiga really, in the past, has shined. And we think perhaps in the future we'll be able to shine again in terms of developer support and new apps.
Okay. I think that answered everything. I asked a big, long philosophical question.
And I gave you a big, long philosophical answer.
Excellent. So how does the Capacity Networks fit into this vision of figuring out what the network operators want and figuring out what the equipment providers want, what consumers want. How do you, what piece of the puzzle was that for you?
Well, it was really, if you look at the problems that we identified and where we thought we might be able to make a contribution, two of the areas that were highlighted fairly frequently was, one was the problem of data storage as consumers start to use large files, download movies, that kind of stuff. So data storage is not
that he condones downloading movies.
Not that I condone, unless
you own them,
pay for them and stuff like that. But data storage becomes a massive issue, and in many cases is impossible. So you look at some of the new business models and strategies of some of the wireless operators in Asia. They foresee a time when you'll download a movie on a cell phone. Why in the world you'd want to do that? At the moment, it's sort of beyond me, but let's say you do want to do it.
Sorry, for clarification, when you're saying wireless operators, again, you're talking in the cell phone mobile space, more so than like 802.11 or something.
That's
like
right.
That.
Yeah. That's right. And so in that case, let's say you did it, where would you put it?
Yeah.
And what Capacity has done in that regard is quite extraordinary. With a very small piece of software that is loaded onto a server, automatically and securely, it will basically access and use any available storage on the network. So, for example, the example I used last night is in your home. Let's say that you had networked a digital video recorder, a set top, a couple of laptops, and some other stuff, and that your laptop that you're using is full. It will simply go and commandeer the space on any other device and do so securely, so that even though it's my data, it may be on your device, but you can't access it without my permission. All it's really doing is allocating all of the available storage place on any given network. Changes the cost perspective and sort of the nature of storage, and we think ultimately in the home, certainly in small businesses and the like.
Yeah.
The other family of products that Capacity currently has is a highly efficient method of formatting data for efficient transmission across any network.
And again, any network is
internet, you know, wireless network.
Okay.
From any content server to any end use.
Okay.
And so basically what this software does is it looks at historical use patterns, which is important, but more importantly, it instantaneously accesses and routes, if you will, the file over the easiest route across the internet. Now,
okay.
You would think that automatically that's already done, but it isn't. And so packets travel across the internet in predictable ways, and the ways are not always the most efficient.
That's true.
So those two products, we thought, enable an awful lot of the stuff that we'd like to see done. Capacity is also working on some other stuff that we are intimately involved in, and we think we'll have just as interesting a future when you start talking about the transmission of secure data across, for example, a wireless network.
Okay. So just let me interject with a bit of broadcast here. If you have a question for Gary, you can go to ugn.amiga.org, which you should know about. And on the right-hand side at the bottom, there's a URL. So if you don't have access to ICQ, you can still send me a message through the ICQ system. I really need that way. It makes it much easier to ask questions a little bit later. So getting back to the interview, you mentioned ubiquitous data access anywhere, any network. When you look at the market space today and what we have, and I've got a Sony Ericsson phone, and Doug's got a Motorola phone, and you know, we have all these different devices that just don't talk to each other. Not only don't talk to each other, can't for physical and technological reasons. How do you see your business model and how do you see this in that kind of environment? Because the consumers will continue to vote with their dollars, and they're going to vote for all sorts of different devices, and there's no industry standards that cross these different boundaries. How are you going to get this to work? Are you going to have hundreds of coders writing agents for all these little devices, or what's the model there?
I think it's going to be a long and probably difficult road. Let's take a specific application right now. We sort of run through popular applications that can be marketed and sell new generations of products. On cell phones, the most recent one was cameras. Well, that's just about run its marketing route, I think. So the next one that we're going to see is multi-user applications, and particularly multi-user entertainment. I don't know. I don't know whether there's going to be a huge market for multi-user play over cell phones with games in most countries. But let's say there are some. And so let's say that in some cases the operators are right. So you've got to have the ability to, if you have three friends you want to play games with, and each of us have a different model phone by a different operator, then we have a situation where you have to have the ability to be able to play across those devices.
Yeah.
In the short term, DE might be able to address this, and I'm sure you'll ask me some questions about DE in a few minutes. In the longer term, I think that we're going to see brands choosing to run the same enabling technology across their consumer products. So we're already beginning to see Sony, for example, trying to put similar kinds of technology that freely handshakes between a PC, a game player, a phone, etc. We'll see that more and more. Now, will there be industry standards that go across all those brands? It makes tremendous sense that there would be, but I doubt that there will be, you know, in my lifetime.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll say from my own knowledge of standards, what usually messes them up the most is people. Is that I don't like you. And then that's all the consumers are screwed for eternity because of people not talking to each other.
I think it's a combination of people and radically differing business models.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in some countries right now, you can get a phone made for almost nothing. I mean, the turnaround time in a couple of the manufacturing companies in Asia from reference design to a finished telephone is less than 3 months. That same turnaround time in some of the countries in Northern Europe is five times that period.
Yeah,
of time.
18 months, easy.
And so you just have Nokia. Radically different approaches to what this thing looks like.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. So what I want to talk. So let's talk about the space as it is today and try to get as specific as possible. And I know it's more difficult the more specific we get. But if you look at what we have today, we've got Brew as a technology to enable this. We've got the AppForge booster engine as a technology to enable running the similar content across multiple devices, which, as we all know, is the parade that Amiga DE was spouting for a long time. You've got Java, obviously, is a major player in not only the server space, but also in the handheld devices. And I think there was another one like Fat Hammer or something that was relatively coming out by other companies. So there's all these technologies out there today that run across Palm devices, Pocket PC devices, Symbian, custom RTOS for whatever phone vendors. Do you see the possibility of driving Amiga DE into these market spaces in the near term? And can you give us any kind of hint as to how you want to, what you see as important or milestones in getting that to happen?
There is I won't say a pent-up demand. There's certainly an opening and in some cases a welcoming for DE in that space. It's not driven so much around the capability of DE as it exists today. It's really driven around the fact that there's a lot of legacy applications beyond games that some of the operators find interesting. And so we think that if we can support DE, extend it a bit, certainly to Java-enabled devices, this is not any big secret, and I really am not at the liberty to discuss other similar kinds of overtures. That's an important thing to do, and we are doing it. We will continue to do it. However, this is going to be driven, once again, by the solution to fairly specific problems. And a couple of those specific problems require applications that are not currently available. One of those applications we will be announcing in the second week of September. I'm not going to talk about it now because I don't talk about things that haven't happened yet, or at least I try not to. But there's a lot of excitement about this app, and we think that it begins to help us drive the market that will begin to then support DE in a variety of environments.
So you're talking about something that is DE-related in a couple months?
We're talking about something that is solution-related that will be introduced to the wireless operators through DE.
Okay. I mean, as Amiga users might not ever hear about this, depending on how you choose to handle the marketing.
You'll hear about it from the top of every rooftop.
Okay, I've heard that before. I've actually heard that about 10 times before. But
not from me. This is my first rooftop speech.
Okay. So we'll see. We'll definitely keep our eyes open, but we might not get too excited until we actually see it.
Don't.
So, well, that's good to hear. I mean, I could ask whether you're going to have a version for Symbian Palm, but I mean, you need to, so it's a relevant question. So going back to your decision last year to purchase the classic Amiga operating system, when I first heard about this earlier in this year, I'm like, everything you've said was Amiga DE. Why did you buy the classic? What was the motivator in purchasing the classic technology then versus buying the whole company, or you know, why did you do it in that way? I mean, you said earlier about the potential for the Amiga operating system to solve this problem in the future, but from what I know of the Amiga, that future is at least 3 years out. It's going to take a lot of development for us to get there.
Well, Camus did not buy the operating system from Amiga. We bought the operating system from iTech. This is a different iTech than Alan's iTech around the Amiga One. This is an investment group that was the principal and initial investor in Amiga, bringing it out of Gateway.
Okay.
So that iTech actually owned a tremendous percentage of the company. The secured debt was owned by iTech. A lot of stuff was owned by them. The company was not structured in such a way as to make it easy to bring in additional funding. So
iTech or Amiga?
Amiga.
Okay.
And so I think a part of iTech's motivation was to say, given what they were thinking about doing, you know, how do we best do this so that we can move something forward with the company? And so basically Camos was formed around a notion with strategic partners that what was needed as we look at the ability of devices to be able to communicate with one another is a new and lightweight and secure OS that enables, you know, pretty specific apps. And it was felt by the people at iTech that the Amiga OS represented that possibility. So that was the motivation. Camos was formed at that time specifically to do that, was to take the Amiga OS, and we didn't acquire just the classic. We basically acquired all progeny to the classic. And so that is to take that OS and to, in combination with strategic partners, figure out where it can and should reside in the future and what we need to do to get there. So that was, in a nutshell, the company's motivation, its business model to a large degree at the time, and the reason for our involvement in funding of some things.
Interesting. And then from that, the Amiga DE, I mean, what made you jump to go buy Amiga Inc. entirely?
I'm not sure jump is the right word, but it's been almost a year since Camos acquired the OS. There were two things, I think, that made it more interesting. Separating out the OS from the balance of Amiga, we had thought, and we were probably wrong, would make it easier for Amiga to raise independent funding and become an independent entity. That didn't necessarily happen. And I think it's no surprise to anybody that's ever followed Amiga, or certainly that has one, or anyone listening to this, that there was tremendous perceived value in the Amiga brand. And so people that we were working with on the strategic side on the OS were saying, well, what about the Amiga brand? And, well, we could license it from Amiga. But that didn't really solve the longer-term issue of continuing product development, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to be just a brand company in today's world. And then the second thing is, when we looked at some of the things that we were doing and asked ourselves the question, what's the shortest route to support developers? That shortest route is DE and its extensions. And so when we looked at that, there was, a judgment made that the acquisition of the balance of Amiga made perfect sense. And if we do this properly, we ought to be able to rekindle developer support. And we're not doing anything radical with that. We're simply paying developers for their work. And so we've already done that and contracted with a few for things that we're doing specifically.
Okay. So in your mind, what do you see as kind of a timetable? And you said last night that the desktop portion of the Amiga, as it is, as we know it today and in the future, is important from a development perspective, so you have some place to develop to, and also creativity. And I mean, you see it, the desktop piece as a as a necessary component of the ecosystem, if you will, for the development of the systems. Where do you see us in a year, 2 years, 3 years in terms of the amount of adoption that you're going to have in the marketplace versus how much investment you put on the desktop side? Because ultimately, every dollar spent pushing Amiga DE forward today is not a dollar spent pushing Amiga OS forward today. I mean, currently these two product lines are radically different, and there's been talk at Amiga Inc. about bringing them together, and if anything like that's happened, they certainly haven't shared it with the public. So where do you see that happening now, and what are your plans there?
For now, certainly Amiga DE is a separate product and to some degree going into a distinct market, because we think that it can enable applications that we're most interested in on the low storage mobile space, primarily in the near term. By near term, are we talking a year, perhaps 2 years? The answer is yes, probably. On the OS side of the world, I mean, there's no such thing as a completed operating system. I mean, once you sort of put 4.0 to bed, you already have ideas about what you need to do for 4.1 or 4.7 or 5.0 or what have you. And so that those features and functions will largely be driven by partners. We're not a hardware company. We're not in the hardware business. We will not be in the hardware business. And so basically an awful lot of the stuff that we do in the future, near-term and long-term, will be in collaboration with strategic partners. If we didn't already have strategic partners, I wouldn't be here today. And so we know where they want to go, and our job is trying to figure out how to enable them to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Time frame on that is not short term. I would be very surprised if anyone hears anything from us on the hardware side of the world in the next three quarters. And I would be delighted if they did, but I would be very surprised if that were to happen.
Okay. So how does the whole, going back to Amiga OS 4, so we know that Hyperion is coding the operating system. We know that Alan and iTech are working primarily on the hardware side. You now own all of the legal agreements and license agreements that have been signed previously in terms of Alan doing this and Ben doing this.
That's right.
How do you see that particular relationship moving forward? Do you have expectations there, or are you going to step in and take pieces of this back over? How do you see that working?
We haven't made any alterations to the original agreement between Amiga, iTech, and Hyperion at all, nor have we requested them. And we haven't received requests for any extensions to that agreement. And so I think that if we were to see something from an existing partner that said we'd like to extend it to do this or that, we certainly look at it in light of what our long-term plans are. But we've not the agreement that's been in place since it was signed in 01 is exactly the same today as it was at that time.
So as I understand it, and what was mentioned by Russ yesterday, that iTech is looking to do some stuff maybe in a couple months related to the Amiga One brand. Do you see that as, do you support that activity? Do you encourage that? Or how do you feel about that?
I don't know what they said yesterday.
Just September, October, we might see some announcements regarding availability of either Micro or a new project or something. They weren't clear.
I don't have any proposals like that from iTech. So that would mean, I mean, they're certainly free to do what they want to do. I think that any product, certainly any product that's aimed at the desktop that goes into the market running OS 4 should be branded Amiga, which means that would probably have to be discussed with somebody at Camos.
Okay. So and last night the question came about changing your name. I recommend not doing that. I was the heckler last
changing
night.
Changing my name to Dave.
No, changing Camos to Amiga Inc. or Commodore.
Yes.
It's absolute kiss of death. Don't go near it.
Well, for the moment, Amiga Incorporated is a wholly owned subsidiary of Camos, and Capacity Networks is also a wholly owned subsidiary, and they certainly will keep their names and their brands as they should. There may come a time because of a strategic partner's request that we make an alteration on that. If we keep our mouths shut and people don't know much about Camos, it shouldn't be confusing. I mean, product announcements about Amiga should come through Amiga.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. So, let's see, what else I want to ask you about? There's two huge questions that are out there that I kind of want to avoid, but I'm going to throw them at you anyways, just because I know people are going to be begging for the answers. And then there's another one about the developer support that I'd like to get a little deeper into. So the first question that everyone wants to know about is the whole lawsuit thing. And I know you didn't bring any lawyers, but I just want you on the tape saying yes, no, or whatever. So anything you want to say about the lawsuit pending between Amiga Inc. and Genesee and that whole
mess? It's no longer pending. The judge finally made a final ruling about 10 days ago. And in his final ruling, basically what he said was that the original agreement, and he used some specific phraseology here, the original agreement on the DE side stands, and that based on that original agreement, all relevant clauses, he identified what those clauses were, enforced and enforceable. And that has a number of implications. I won't go into what they may or may not be. We haven't heard anything at Camos, and I don't think Amiga has either, or it would have been disclosed to me upon this final documentation. We haven't heard a word from Pegasus, Genesee, B-Plan, or anybody else. And so they have some, if they really want to deploy DE on a device, they have some requirements in the original agreement that they really need to comply with. There are some other phrases in that agreement that are interesting. But it was finally acted on. There's two theories here. There was a lawyer's theory, and the lawyer's theory was the reason it has taken so long is because the court was really taking this serious, and it was a serious event and what have you. And then there was my theory that the court forgot about the whole darn thing. And it turned out that I was right. It slipped off the docket. And once somebody picked up the phone and called the clerk and said, hey, whatever happened with this anyway? They went, oh, yeah, we forgot to rule on that. And so it got stuck back on the docket and it was ruled on the following week. And so that's over and done with in the past.
Okay. So you're still working it out with Genesee, and I guess we'll see whoever says whatever they want.
They haven't talked to us. We haven't talked to them. Leave it at that.
But obviously you intend to comply fully with whatever the legal necessities are.
The judge has been quite clear that the legal drama will be driven by the specific phrases in the agreement. We will live up to that and enforce the phrases that are enforceable from us, yes.
Excellent, excellent. And then the other question that everyone wants to know about, again, is the T-shirts. And you mentioned this yesterday. And when you said that they were in the printers yesterday, which I'm assuming then was Friday,
yes.
I didn't believe that, but no offense. But.
Well, we finalized the paperwork on the acquisition on Thursday. And I approved the invoice for printing on Friday. Supposedly they're ready to go and should be done. We're working with somebody that's supposed to be quite efficient, so we'll get the darn T-shirts out and promise never to make any more.
No, don't make any more. Just give them away for free.
Well,
and for the record,
if we make any more, we won't charge people for them.
And for the record, Amiga Inc. did give away T-shirts at two shows. I mean, they did give these things away when they could afford to do it. It's when they couldn't afford they started charging.
Right, right.
So lessons learned from the past.
Well, we should get them from us quickly now that we can afford to give them away, and then later on we'll find out what happens.
So you mentioned earlier, both in your speech today and your banquet speech last night and today, about developer support.
Yes.
And when I look at who I know the Amiga developers are, and as you used the word, I think, dormant last night to describe the development community, I know that the people who, for whatever reason, continue to do development versus those who, for whatever reason, decided not to, are doing development. They're just not doing it for the Amiga. So there's a large number of people who used to develop for our platform that don't. They still love coding, but they don't. You've talked about a website portal. I know that I've seen a lot of motions from Symbian. We've talked about them as a mobile phone developer, holding development conferences in different places around the world, trying to jumpstart their community. And I think that maybe your number one competition is going to be on the developer side to try to build the ecosystem, the third-party applications, to really drive the competitiveness on that front when you go back to talk to the network operators. So my question to you is how seriously are you taking re-energizing the development community? Are you talking about the DE development community? Are you talking about the classic? Do you not see a distinction there? Are we going to see by the end of the year an Amiga DevCon? What is your thinking? And obviously, being the CEO, you kind of say, go make it happen and other people carry it out. But you still have expectations on some of that. So what's your answer to that?
Well, I think that if you set down a list of priorities, developer support and talented developers involved in applications on both the DE and OS side is no lower than number two. So it's critically important. I've never thought, I mean, some people may know that at one time I was a developer myself, and I've never thought that developer support programs have done a particularly good job of supporting developers. I mean, basically they give you an SDK and, you know, God bless you and tell you to go do your best work. We're going to look at that a little bit differently. We've already entered agreements with some developers and to do specific things with us. We are paying them to do so, you know, and we think that's helpful. To the extent that we can open markets that allow developers to be financially successful and do their thing, that's where we would expect that we would get support. Simply to ask developers to support us and then have them immediately do so doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, They've got to have some evidence that they can make a living doing it
And
do well.
Poor John Harris.
And so what we're trying to do right now, and one of the major motivations for DE and the extensions I said that we're working on, is that we think that gets a certain amount of developer support and title distribution into the market in the near term. In the longer term, that attention will probably gravitate more to the OS side of the world. In today's world, there still remains a distinction between the two, and we will support the two. On the OS side, it will obviously be more quiet because an awful lot of stuff that's done there is proprietary and you know, really isn't made very visible until the product actually ships. On the DE side, it won't be anywhere near as quiet, and we pretty much know some of the things that we need to do on the application side because of the desires of the strategic partners that I keep mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing that we can do, I think, is when you look at a developer support site, we're not trying here to be publishers. We're not trying to control the activity of the developer.
Which is the business model, effectively, of Amiga Inc., was to kind of to be a relay for development and try to take a piece of every dime from that.
Well, if they had a decent distribution model, that makes perfect sense. I mean, to be a distributor and to say, okay, there's a cost to distribution and a cost to marketing and a cost to getting the partners and what have you, that makes perfect sense. But you can't be sort of half a publisher. And what publishers do, and I mean, I was one of those too for a long time and both made and lost extraordinary amounts of other people's money trying to prove that. But one of the things that publishers do is that they believe that they know the market. So if you're in Electronic Arts, I mean, they decide what the game is, how it should be, how it functions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yet outside franchise publications, Madden Football, for example, it's a crapshoot as to what is going to be a good product in this market or that. We think that if we can provide timely and reliable market data, market by market, segment by segment, in a timely way to developers, then those developers around the world can sort of make their own decisions with a certain amount of market guidance of where they'd like to play, and we should be able then to try and figure out the most appropriate channels of distribution into that market. So that's, in essence, how we're thinking. It's extraordinarily important. I've said, the only thing I've said probably consistently over the years is that if developers are successful, then we will be, and if they're not, then we messed it up.
Interesting. So, I mean, in the near term, I know that Amiga Inc. has had updated versions of DE that they've not shipped to the consumer side to run on like my PC or whatever. I remember talking to some of the developers and I'm like, why can't I do this? Like, oh, you know, I can on mine, but they just haven't got it out. Do you see that changing in the near future where some of these things that have been happening in-house are going to start getting out more?
Yes. And in at least one instance, perhaps two, relatively soon.
That'd be very nice, because I've been looking for 1.3 or whatever it is of the Amiga DE so I could scale the window so I could play with that. Okay, so I've got a bunch of windows up. I've got you for about 10 more official minutes. So I'd like to start asking some questions that I've gotten online here. You have to give me a second while I read through and to make sure there are things we haven't answered yet. This question revolves around some of the acquisition of Amiga Inc. and the employees. Specifically, did you ask Bill McEwen or Fleecy Moss to stay on board in some capacity with Amiga Inc.?
Yes, we have, and both of them have agreed to do so.
Okay. Have you heard? This person has heard that a big portion of the Amiga Inc.'s debt was salary owed to Bill McEwen. Is that true, and has he been paid?
There's two different categories of debt that we have to deal with one way or another, and either have or are continuing to do so. There's secured, and then there's unsecured debt. Obviously, we had to deal with secured debt before an acquisition could take place, and we're dealing with unsecured debt really as we speak, including things like salaries and what have you. I don't think that salary owed to any one individual is in any way out of proportion to salary owed to any other one individual. We're pretty careful when we look at the accounting of things like this. I mean, we're actual business people, so we we look at all the accountings of anything that might be a debt or liability thoroughly and seriously, and we certainly did so in this case.
Excellent, excellent. So I guess the answer there, to be translated, is it's going to be taken care of.
Yeah, all this stuff's being taken care of. I mean, I think the sub-question in here is that was any one individual's salary requirements out of whack with anybody else's, and the answer there is no.
Okay. Let's see. Have you been in contact with many Amiga developers since acquiring the Amiga OS, or any developers? Let me actually open that up. The question specifically is, have you been in contact with lots of developers since acquiring the Amiga OS?
We've been in contact with several developers since acquiring. I don't know about lots. I mean, we certainly should be in contact with more. I've been in contact with a few more by virtue of the fact that I'm here as well. So, one of whom is currently knocking me on the shoulder.
He's reaching for his wallet.
But yes, I mean, we've been working with some of the developers quite closely, and we've also contracted with some of them for ongoing activity.
Excellent. As you say, the developers are critically important to making you successful, so it's something you want to do.
In my view, a technology in today's world without a developer really doesn't need to exist.
So, let's see. This one's regarding video editing software. I'm not going to ask that.
I wouldn't know the answer anyway.
Yeah, I didn't figure so. This is an interesting one. Have you talked to Newtek, the makers of the video toaster? I don't know if you're familiar with the video toaster. It's important in the Amiga market. Having done multimedia back in the 90s, I'm sure you are. Have you had any conversations with Tim, or has he called you? Or
No, I have not, but I do believe that one of the people that's working with me has. But I don't know the details on that at all.
Okay, let's see. Will Kamos provide funding to Hyperion for further Amiga OS 4 development?
It hasn't been requested of us, and as I said, the original agreement continues to exist as originally agreed to, and no one suggested any alterations on any side of that. I would assume if we went and requested alterations for one reason or another, then of course we would be expected to fund those changes.
Okay. When will we see Amiga DE for other processors and systems than x86, Windows, and Linux? Windows with a Z, of course.
The sooner the better. And so I think that we will see at least one, the support of one additional system in the next... I always hate to put time frames on things.
Yeah, don't use time frames.
You know, the next quarter.
Never say 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever say 14 days.
Yeah.
Takes
me 10 days to figure out where to go to lunch.
10 business days? Never say 2 weeks.
But we're working on that right now. Everybody realizes it's important. And so to say that enables cross-device support when it's only available on one family of devices doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So the other follow-on to that is you mentioned last night specifically during your banquet speech the agreement between you and Dow about PowerPC support.
Yes.
And I assume that's some sort of reference toward future Amiga OS 4 variant. Was that the case, or were you just simply mentioning that you now have this?
I'm not sure I understand that question.
It was my understanding that in the past, one of the challenges for making Amiga DE work on Amigas in the future was the PowerPC portion, or actually more specifically, 68K was not something that they were able to run on for whatever reasons. That's what I heard.
Right.
And I guess I'm extending that to PowerPC as well. So you obviously mentioned it last night for some specific reason, and I was wondering if you could elaborate on that.
Well, I mean... you know, a lot of time has gone by, obviously, in the life of things like DE, and Dow certainly hasn't stood still. So Intent, their player, has far more functionality today than it had, you know, a year and a half ago. And so the new versions of Intent do some things that it hasn't done thus far, one of which is PowerPC support.
Okay.
So that when you look at what devices could DE easily gravitate to in collaboration with somebody like Dow, that's certainly part of that answer.
Excellent. And because, of course, just so that everyone knows, the PowerPC processor is heavily favored in the embedded space. You can download files that will let you program an FPGA as a PowerPC chip or your ASIC design. You can just literally drop and drag PowerPC cores using the design tools. They're very, very prevalent for that. Let's see. Here's a question. Are there any plans to incorporate the Intent 2.0 system into the Amiga DE environment?
I'm always confused by Dow's numbering scheme for Intent. And so there's a different numbering scheme, internal and external. I'm not quite sure what 2.0 means these days. The latest version is what they're referring to as 1.5. But our intention is to stay current with Intent technologies. And so we've talked a great deal with Dow about the most efficient way to do that. And so regardless of what the numbering thing is, I think that we'll try and keep DE as current with what they're up to with Intent as we possibly can.
Excellent. I mean, you have to. You have to stay in sync with them.
We absolutely have to.
Okay. So I've got 13 windows open. We'll see if we can blow through these quickly. So we have 3 minutes. Have you looked into working with Opera using their technology for mobile and the desktop? Yes, I'm biased.
I don't believe we have.
Okay. Will the Amiga name still be attached to DE? And if so, will it be known as Amiga DE or Amiga Anywhere?
I'm not sure. The Amiga name will certainly be attached to anything on the consumer side, including applications furnished through DE. I'm not sure that we will put a specific designation behind the name. So, for example, it may be sort of a Powered by Amiga kind of thing, or Amiga Presents. We still have to do some a little bit of market planning on that. If we talk about having a name that we want to support and extend, then you ought to be able to extend it into product categories that are not necessarily directly related to the category you're shipping today.
So here's a question for you. What the hell is Amiga DE? Is it an operating system, operating environment? Is it a shell? Is it a GUI? What do you think it is?
Well, it's certainly not an operating system. I mean, basically, Amiga DE is as it exists today is a family of libraries running on top of the Intent player that enable the same application to run across to some devices. It can be something different in the future in terms of adding functionality, but I still would not refer to it as an OS.
So let's see. Let me find you another question here. Opus asks, what are your thoughts on Pocket UAE and UAE in general? UAE is the Unix Amiga emulator, unusable Amiga emulator. Are you familiar with that at all? Or
I'm vaguely familiar with it, and I'm really the wrong person to ask that question to because there's no way I could answer it adequately.
Okay. Do you have a copy of Amiga Forever? Do you run that on your laptop at all?
I do have a copy of Amiga Forever.
Boot this thing like, okay, what the hell do I own now?
Exactly. We keep asking ourselves that question. What did we buy?
That question has been asked many, many times in the past. Varying answers. On the DE side, are you going to make available the existing content like an Amiga Entertainment Pack 1? So Amiga worked with Microsoft. They released this entertainment pack that had things that were not available to buy, like the calculator. There's a couple programs in the entertainment pack they released for Pocket PC that couldn't buy on their website. Do you have any plans to make that available?
We're going to make as much available as soon as we humanly can. We have right now earmarked not only the entertainment products that are ready to ship, but additional entertainment products that we can ship on a quarterly basis so we know exactly what we're doing on the entertainment side. On the application side, we're identifying specific applications, things like the calculator, of course, interesting, that can be shipped in the short term, and then in order to meet the needs of strategic partners, can be developed for shipping in the intermediate term.
So here's a question about KMOS. Is KMOS a publicly traded company? Is there any information available on it in terms of business prospectus, holdings, and financial status, etc.?
KMOS is a privately held company. And I hope we'll continue to be so for quite some time so that we don't have to be spending a great deal of time with normal, you know, public reporting and documentation.
So trespassers will be shot on site.
It's hard to trespass because we've never disclosed where our offices are, but we now need to do so. So we're taking steps.
Sisquelamate.
Yeah, exactly.
Gary, the Daytona Area Amiga Tech User Group is attending Computer Fest. Around 30,000 people attend. Our Amiga group has supported the Amiga at the show for years. We'll be having an Amiga 1 running pre-OS4. Is there any way KMOS might be able to help support us, maybe banners or flyers?
A good question, and one of the things we need to do on the website is to quickly put together both marketing support and then ease of licensing for people who want to sell their own T-shirts, for example. So we're working on that right now about how do we support folks like that and what do we need to do and what kind of rights we need to transfer, et cetera.
I thought Amiga Inc. already solved a lot of these issues.
Some of them they addressed and some of them they didn't. And so we're trying to address as many as we possibly can. We're nowhere near as prepared on the marketing and marketing communication side as we ought to be and as we will be, I hope, soon. But most of my attention has been on the strategic side and on attracting and hiring people on the technical side. And I only recently turned my attention to recruiting on the market and market communication side.
Okay. Give me a second if you want to grab some more water while I try to find the last question to ask.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's already talked about. Does Gateway still own any of
these?
No,
we're looking for the last question that we haven't covered yet. Okay, I'll ask this one.
So this comes from Ivan. On the OS side, there are a number of holes left, and what he's talking about is an Amiga OS, I'd imagine. Java, Virtual Machine, Office Suite, things that are essential to an operating system these days and all of its markets. How do you plan to bring these to Amiga OS? Will it come from private development, or will you assist in the funding of it?
Market by market, there's a lot of functionality that needs to be in any operating system, including this one that's probably not there yet. And so if we look at moving an operating system into the set-top space or the handheld space or something like that, it's going to require applications and functionality that either haven't been anticipated or haven't been developed on the OS side. And in that case, of course, we will enable it. We will fund it. We are prepared to do some of that engineering in-house, and we would be crazy not to contract out for some of it as it makes sense. So we'll be taking both approaches. We have a list that probably gets longer rather than shorter of functionality that we would like to see on the OS that's envisioned by some of the folks that we're working with.
Okay. So is there anything you want to say in closing?
Not really. I just want to thank everyone that took the time to, join in and ask questions. I guess the only thing, one of the things that came up last night, one of the things that comes up casually once in a while, is to what extent we'll be communicating with everybody about what we're doing. We will certainly communicate about products as they come to market and about business relationships as they are completed. But in almost every instance, we have pretty strong confidentiality relationships with folks we're working with, and so we honor those. And I've never seen any percentage in speculating about what might be. I can have 10 meetings in the next 3 weeks that never turn out to be anything, and so why should I tell people what those meetings might be?
Yeah.
So we're going to try and be as real about things as we humanly can. There's always, Amiga's been around a long time. There's been a lot of of good things, bad things, and false starts. And one person asked me in the elevator last night why he should trust me as opposed to anybody else who's ever come around saying, I'm going to do this or do that.
I wonder who that was.
And the answer is, you shouldn't, nor are we asking anybody to do so. I mean, the proof's sort of in the pudding, and so if we can take the company forward and support the development community in an adequate kind of way, then we're doing the right thing. But we're not we're just not in the cheerleading business, and probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, not until you're ready, and then you'll hire some cheerleaders.
Yeah, we'll get professional cheerleaders. But thank you very much, Bill, and thank everybody for their time.
Well, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. Okay, so I'm going to take a break, and I'll be back in a few minutes.